Hey, gang. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, coming to you from the beautiful new co-certified studios in downtown, beautiful downtown Burbank. Anybody who knows what that's a reference to gets a Flying Fickle Finger of Fate Award. Today is September 6th. I'm broadcasting live, and I am accepting calls. The number at RBN is 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. So, as I always try to remember to remind you, so please support RBN. This is the only way that you're going to get to hear me. We won't have a National Bugle Radio without RBN. So it's there's a donate pay button on the RBN website. And please check out the co-certified app. You can access the app through thekosherquestion.com or kosherified.com or going to nationalbugle.com. You'll find it there as well. So today there is much ado about nothing, probably, but there is much ado. CNN and NPR and PBS and all of the rest are, well, there's the Bruce Kavanaugh hearings that's going on, but they're making a big deal about the combination of the Bob Woodward book and the anonymously authored op-ed in the New York Times. Now, of course, the Bob Woodward book is also, well, he interviewed Trump administration officials, but of course a lot is also anonymously sourced. So guess what? We have anonymous people saying that there's a lot of chaos in the Trump White House. Anonymous people saying that there are people who work in the White House who are actively trying to undermine the president. In fact, like this anonymous New York Times op-ed is actually trying to take credit for undermining the president. And the basic line at CNN and NPR is, wow, isn't this great that we have patriotic Americans still in the White House who are trying to undermine the president? Isn't it wonderful? Because, you know, if it weren't for these people, the president might get away with implementing his campaign promises, such as building a wall, revising immigration laws, restricting immigration, trade deals, improving relations with Russia. We couldn't have that. And basically, they are confirming the existence, confirming the reality of what I and others have been talking about, this, what I call the Jew d'etat, because I don't know if this person who wrote the op-ed is going to turn out to be a Jew or not. I don't know that, but there is Jewish leadership and Jewish direction of this Never Trump movement, which is largely located in the media itself. And so you turn on CNN and you'll see, well, I was just watching over the lunch break before I came up to the beautiful co-certified studios. I saw, I want to say Don King. Don King was the boxing promoter with the giant afro. What's his name? Something King. He was Dana Bash's husband. He converted to Judaism. So I guess you'd call him a Jewish wannabe. He was a goy. What's his first name? Something King. And he had a panel. And of course, and earlier today I was listening to NPR on the radio. And, you know, they had somebody who was a former Trump administration official. I didn't catch his name. I didn't catch the beginning of the interview, but somebody who had worked for several months for Trump in 2017. And what was interesting was this former Trump official was, downplaying the existence of people trying to undermine the president. And said, well, you know, of course the president, he is somebody who brings in people of differing views. He likes to have differing views, but he was downplaying if not the existence, at least the extent of people trying to undermine the president. He was saying that this anonymous author of the op-ed piece was most likely, he might have been somebody with a grandiose sounding title, this particular person who was being interviewed, and again, I didn't catch the name, but said his own title had been senior advisor to the president, but was claiming that as senior advisor to the president, there were lots and lots of meetings that went on that were above his pay grade. And he was saying that even if the person who wrote this article has what winds up having an impressive sounding title, he or she may really be a relatively low level player. So the idea that this guy was trying to get across was that, okay, well, there might be, somebody trying to undermine the president, but he or she is most likely going to be an insignificant character, and don't take this op-ed very seriously. Whereas the interviewer, again, I'm sorry, I don't have her name, but she was the NPR interviewer. So NPR is right in the middle of Never Trump and bash Trump for everything, was saying that, and of course the person being interviewed was saying, remember, Donald Trump, you know, ran on these policies and he was elected on these policies. And the interviewer, the NPR woman, was saying, well, here we have people in the administration, and this has been corroborated by two sources, the anonymous op-ed and also Bob Woodward's book, which of course was full of anonymous sources also. And, you know, they're saying that, you know, whatever successes President Trump has had, it's been in spite of President Trump. You know, these people have been shepherding the work of, you know, so we have these other people to thank for the tax cuts, and we have them to thank for, I don't know, what else would we have them to thank for, bombing Syria and moving the embassy to Jerusalem, presumably we would have them to thank for a lack of progress on building a wall, and we would have them to thank for an inability to clamp down on immigration from these Muslim countries. And we have them to thank for an inability to improve relations or remove sanctions on Russia, improve relations with Russia. And they're great patriots because they are saving the republic from the policies of a president who was elected precisely because, I mean, people voted for this president based on policies. It wasn't based on wanting to have a beer with him or wanting to hang out with him. President Trump was somebody who had been famous for decades and decades. You can go back to YouTube and you can see lots of interviews he was giving back in the 1970s. He's been around for a long time. He was certainly nobody I was interested in, but I supported him because of policies. And first, his wanting to improve relations with Russia, because I like the idea of avoiding World War III, but I also like the idea of preserving the population of the United States by stopping illegal immigration and also revising the legal immigration, restricting the legal immigration as well. And these were the president's policies, and people like those policies, and in spite of all of the negative media against him, in spite of what was really a full court press against them from the media, from the opinion makers, would throw in academia there, from Congress, his own party, I mean, his own party. How long did it take Paul Ryan to endorse him? And then wasn't Paul Ryan ready to abandon him, you know, anytime something happened, like the Hollywood Access? How many people abandoned Trump when you had this stupid little tape where he was hypothetically speculating about where one might grab women, you know, whatever. So they were always, you know, he, in spite of all of this, he still won the election. And he won the election because the voters may not have liked him personally, but they wanted those policies. And so to me, you know, you hear this person on NPR who is supposedly there to defend the president, but who is really denying the treachery against that president. No, there is treachery. These books and op-eds are very revealing, and it is an affront to democracy that we have an administration working actively against a president who was elected in order to carry out these policies. William from Montana. William, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning, William. Have you been following these events?
Well, I've put myself on a little bit of a diet because, you know, if you want to stay informed, you have to be discriminating on how many digital tails you chase, because, you know, often they almost make me feel like, you know, I'm chasing the same tail, even though it purportedly comes from different sources. So, you know, I think that one of the things that I always try to do is to sort of keep up on all the things that are happening outside of this sort of media frenzy that we seem to always be, you know, it's like every morning I wake up, there's just this onslaught of the ridiculous. I mean, sometimes, you know, halfway through an article that seems to be, you know, the leading the headlines, I have to laugh because it's so ludicrous. It's just another rendition of the same sort of, you know, whatever you want to call it, fake news. But it goes beyond fake news. It's almost like a brain deadening psychop. And you say, you know, do I really need to get to the bottom of this one? You know, it's almost like, you know, I've seen this before under different titles, you know, in recent history. So, you know, I'm kind of trying to, clarify what I refer to as Plan B. And that is, you know, a plan that sort of helps us sidestep this sort of soul-debilitating, exhausting, brain-deadening flow of stuff. I mean, I still haven't recovered. I'm pretty thick-skinned, but I haven't recovered from the obscenity of that thing called, you know, McCain's funeral ceremony. It had very little to do with McCain. It was just another, you know, staged, you know, event for people to attack Trump.
Yeah, and I want to just ask you, I mean, it's been said that John McCain spent the last year of his life planning his funeral, and if we're to take that at face value, he spent the last year of his life planning to, you know, eventually utilize his own funeral to attack the president. What does that say?
Well, you know, it's also, I have, if you actually look at McCain's very sordid history, I mean, it's not just what happened in North Vietnam. It's not what happened on the Forrestal. It's not, you know, what happened, you know, like, you know, what is happening with Arizona to put this fool, back into Congress over and over again. But it's the fact that he McCain has always been sort of a mouthpiece, you know. Not only did the Navy, meaning his very important military family that had to continuously whitewash and obliterate, his very appalling record, and save him. You know, any other, I saw one lieutenant colonel, some comment, and they said that any other pilot who, having done what McCain did during his training and during his time in Vietnam, would have been at least dismissed, if not court-martialed. And so when you see this whole travesty, you know, of him being projected a war hero, and then it was a setup. You know, this whole thing was not only planned, you know, for this eulogy to project him as an American war hero and great patriot, when just the opposite, you know, for anyone who does a casual, you know, search would find just the opposite is true. You know, it also was a mechanism, you know, for basically getting Trump in trouble no matter what he did. I mean, if, you know, he was disinvited, and then when he didn't come at the wishes of supposedly McCain, you know, then he's dissed for that. And if he makes a statement, you know, he's dissed for that, you know, just, you know, sending condolences. And then when Ivanka, you know, went with, you know, her husband, you know, what did she get for her effort? She was accused of texting during the funeral. So it was a setup all the way around. And if you saw the people who were, you know, giving John McCain accolades, I mean, it was a bizarre assortment of people.
And who was it that was texting?
Ivanka. You know, they showed her, and, you know, maybe she was bowing her head in prayer. I didn't see any phone, but that's what the Twitter sphere or whatever it's called, you know, they said she was texting during the eulogies, you know. So I'm sure she's going to have to ask her dad for some major compensation for doing that little piece for him where she showed up at the church. But, you know, one of the things I wanted to point out is, while this is going on, there is a lot of stuff happening in the world, which, you know, that's what this whole thing, it was just basically a smokescreen, another convenient smokescreen that was put up so that all these other things that are happening in the world, which I consider much more significant, doesn't filter down to the masses here in the West, or here especially in the United States. And, you know, what are some of these things? Well, you know, if you actually listen to some of the major players in the EU, they have all come out this week pretty much saying that we need to rethink our relationship with the United States.
Okay, we are hearing the music, but please stay on, and let's hear about that after the break.
Thank you.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family, as as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Radio on the Public Broadcasting Network, Patrick Slattery with William from Montana. So, William, President Trump actually described the EU as a foe in an interview not too long ago. What's the EU's evolving policy towards the United States?
Well, I think, you know, I think what has happened, I mean, just in the last week, I've got, you know, 3-4 dozen little references to what's happened. And basically what has happened is that the various EU leaders, Macron and even, you know, Merkel and other people have come forward and have said that we need to do some serious rethinking about our relationship with United States, and this is on at the political level, just the words. But I always like going beneath the words and actually seeing actions that are coming about, because you know there's the word game, and then there's the actual actions where people actually take the reins in their own hands and change economic and political, you know, attitudes. And one of the things that has happened, I thought that the foreign minister, Heiko Maas, German foreign minister, he said that, you know, we shouldn't sit like a rabbit in front of a snake. And it's like, you know, if you put yourself, you know, under the reins of the United States, and you have a weak position, you're just inviting disaster. And he said, you know, when you know, economic sanctions, you know, when the U.S. dollar can be used as a weapon, just because we do something, they don't, you know, it, you know, we're, as politicians, we're mandated to actually, you know, look out for the interest of our own country. And when every time we take some step that really makes good sense for our people, you know, we get this feedback from the United States that they're going to sanction us, you know, not just Russia. And I think that when you actually look at what's happening, you know, some of these things don't sound too momentous, but, you know, the big three, you know, credit rating agencies, you know, Standard & Poor's and others, just gave an AA+ long-term and an A1 plus short-term insurer ratings for the stable outlook of this BRICS new development bank. This is mm-hmm. BRICS new development bank. And BRICS, they just gave...
Referring to Brazil, Russia, India, and China, and sometimes right. if add the S, it can be South Africa, which I would think would tend to drag down the rating a bit, but otherwise.
Yeah, but there's other people clamoring to join, like Turkey
mm-hmm.
and you know, others saying we want in on this too, and we certainly want in on another alternative to SWIFT, which is this mechanism that allows international you know, countries to you know, make money transfers.
Right.
And that also has been militarized by the U.S., saying that, you know, we can cut you off. I mean, you have
Iran has been denied, Iran's been denied access to SWIFT for many years, as I recall.
Yes. And one of the things, you know, the other thing, like I always say, you know, I want to keep up on the actions, not just the words. I mean, you know, this pipeline that was just announced several years ago, a gas pipeline from Russia to China, when they signed this enormously profitable deal, I forget the exact amount, $40 billion plus, that is almost completed. The report just came out a few days ago that it's 93% completed. And along with this, China just announced that it even wants to buy more gas from Russia, and it also wants to start buying its gas from Kazakhstan. So, you know, these are big, you know, when the United States is saying that, well, we have so much, we're going to become, you know, energy independent because of all of our, you know, oil sand deposits in North Dakota, blah blah blah. But if you actually look at that whole thing, where they say, well, we have trillions and trillions of barrels of oil, so it's going to be. If you actually look at what's happening in North Dakota, that's going to become one of the biggest economic bubble burst. You know, it'll equal the, you know, the mortgage-backed security crash of 2008. There's so much debt. There are so many. The banks said, "Yeah, we'll loan you money to develop these, what's referred to as horizontal drilling. You know, the fracking thing." Mm-hmm. But what people don't understand is, after the first year, there's a huge drop in production. So these oil wells don't even work. And
well, we're going to break, but I have no other callers. I'd be very happy for you to stay on.
Okay, thank you.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited. So take a breath, head to aroutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at aroutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Welcome back to the show, National Public Radio, with Patrick Slattery and William from Montana. And so, William, you were talking about the fracking industry, and I've been an opponent of fracking, mainly for environmental reasons. I've been alarmed at the resistance by the industry itself to, I mean, their staunch opposition to placing tracing chemicals in the fracking fluid, which would definitively answer whether or not the fluids and the, you know, if they're seeping into the water tables or not. But you were raising the issue of falling production and the economic viability that way. Would you like to continue with your train of thought?
Well, one of the things that it's put up is that, oh, we're going to become energy independent, and we're going to have so much energy, so much oil and gas, that we'll be able to supply the needs of Europe. They just mm-hmm. have to stop being held hostage by, in quotes, Russia. And if you look into, and this is a lot of these, I've read a lot of articles recently from private equity fund analysts and stuff like that, and they say that, you know, this whole bubble, you know, there was so much money that was loaned on the in this, you know, like say in North Dakota, the banks went in and they said, yeah, if you put up, you know, a bunch of collateral, blah blah blah, we'll loan you as much money as possible, because, you know, the people who get in early are going to make a fortune. But I have a bunch of friends that went over there, and they did make money about 3 years ago. You know, but if you actually look at the, you know, why, how they were making money, they were making money not on the oil that was being extracted and sold, but they were making money because there was so much investment. Mm-hmm. People went into debt. They took out loans. And so the money, all this money that a bunch of my friends were making over there as welders and oil analyst, analyzing the amount of oil in the ground and stuff like that. That was all coming from bank loans. It wasn't actually coming from the sale of oil. And now what has happened is, you know, my friends don't go over there anymore because the money has dried up. This money that was coming from the banks has dried up. And what they have found, that one of the problems with fracking, otherwise known as horizontal drilling, is that the well production drastically drops after the first year.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't aware of that drastic drop in production. Just to fill in people who may not be familiar, so horizontal drilling, there's been talk about extracting oil and gas from these shale formations. I remember it in the 1970s. Do you remember that Shell oil commercial where a guy had a piece of shale and took a blowtorch to it and lit it on fire?
Mm-hmm.
That was a commercial back in the 1970s because they wanted at that point, I think they wanted to strip mine for the shale or something, but because
sure.
they didn't have the horizontal drilling techniques. But now they have the technology to drill down and turn a corner and then drill sideways. And that's part of it. And then the other thing that they do is they pump, water and, fluid very violently into these holes, which fractures the shale. And people who aren't familiar with shale, it's this very crumbly, flaky kind of rock that, in some parts of the country you can see at the surface as well.
Sure.
And so, this fluid, which is also mixed with little grains of sand, which get into the cracks, and it allows, well, gas in particular can bubble up, but I guess it can get liquid oil as well. But I think it's more for gas, isn't it?
Yeah. And the thing is that in this, North Dakota, Bakken region, the analysis that's in now shows that there is, on average, a 69% decline in production after the first year.
Wow.
And over 85% reduction by year three. And, whereas conventional wells, they decline maybe 10% a year. And what this means, if you actually fly over this region, you will see thousands and thousands of wells, because after the first year, a lot of these people are so in hock to the banks that they can't survive more than a 69% decrease. So they abandoned this well along with, a minor ecological disaster for that region, and they go about 300 yards up the road and they pop in another well.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they're trying to do is they're just trying to pay for their debt, management. They're not even hoping to make money yet, because this wasn't supposed to happen. This was supposed to be the first in, would make millions and millions, and a lot of people were suckered into this. And now the numbers are all coming back that this is going to be a huge bust. And many of these early adopters, there are like two or three companies that are doing well just because they didn't have to take on, they had some, private equity, and they didn't have to take on, this type of very expensive, we don't have a lot of collateral, but will you give us a loan type debt? And so this whole thing is going to blow up in the next year or so. And you're going to see that you not only created one of the biggest ecological disasters, but you also created another big debt bubble.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it crashes, it's actually going to have an effect far beyond just North Dakota.
Well, this is something that maybe we should be talking about on Friday on the Filbert Financial Show. I'm looking at Chesapeake Energy is one of these big companies that's involved in fracking. And so I'm looking at their share price, and look at 2013, 2014, it got up to over $30 a share. And now it's at, $4.50 a share. So that that would be a reflection of exactly the type of thing you're talking about.
Right. And if you look into it, and you can, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's starting to come out now. But, I mean, this debt bubble is enormous. And when it falls, of course, the people who were there are going to be wiped out. But other people outside of this industry are going to be affected too. And guess who comes out smelling like a rose? It's the bankers that, you know, use this gullibility of all these get-rich-quickers, you know, to say, you know, put everything on the line and you might be the next billionaire. And what has actually happened is just the opposite. Plus, you know, like you say, I mean, if you actually look into what horizontal drilling is and what for the results of fracking, I mean, this land is even destroyed for anything else. I mean, even if you could rehabilitate all these pockmarks, you know, all around the landscape, you can't even return this to, you know, some type of second use, you know, grazing, agricultural use, just because of all the damage that is done. So that's what I look at, you know, and what's actually happening is that, you know, Russia continues to make gains in, you know, delivering oil and gas to, like, China, and also, you know, with the Nord Stream 2 line coming online in not too distant future. And that's one of the things that's happening in Germany, and that's one of the concerns. Like Macron said that, you know, we need to reconsider our relationship with this sort of transatlantic association. And he said we have to reconsider our relationship with another very powerful European power. And he referred to Russia. And people are saying, wait, Russia is not European. And he said, well, yes, you know, before the Soviet Union, before the Bolsheviks took over, Russia was very much considered a sort of European power. And they certainly have a major role to play in the future, especially in terms of energy. And he said, if you actually look at the analysis, the EU has been massively hurt by going with these sanctions.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't really hurt the Russian economy. Of course, you know, the currency has bounced up and down, you know, but in terms of real gains, Russia is going to probably become not only a big exporter of gas and oil, but they're moving into position of becoming one of the largest exporters of coal.
I don't know about their stock indexes, but the ETFs, the exchange-traded funds that are backed by Russian stocks, have been they've been sideways over the past several years. They haven't crashed. They haven't gone up. They've just kind of remained where they are. But meanwhile, behind the scenes, Russia's been reordering its economy, reorienting it away from just only being an energy exporter and then importing all of these consumer goods. Well, they started import substitution a few years back, you know, like in 2014. And by now,
sure,
they have, you know, they're manufacturing their own consumer goods, so they're less dependent on foreign sources for these imports.
And also, you know, if you look at other of these little tiny, you know, news items that no one ever, you know, pays any attention to, but, you know, I've been following the whole Ukrainian thing, and a lot of analysts say that Ukraine is facing a labor catastrophe because millions of people are fleeing the country, of already more than, you know, I think Russia has resettled over 1.2, 1.4 million Ukrainians, and many of these are not just Ukrainians from the east, you know, the Russian, ethnic Russians, but just other people, you know, professionals.
Are they ethnic? Are they ethnic Russians or ethnic Ukrainians?
Many of them are, but they're not all, you know, they've, you know, Ukraine and Russia have been joined in many ways, over the decades, over the millennium.
And lots of mixing. You got like President Gorbachev had a Russian father and a Ukrainian mother.
Sure. And then what's happened is that Russia has met this to facilitate the gaining of residency status, and also, if you're an ethnic Russian, a fast track to citizenship. And so this Ukraine is collapsing because of a brain drain, and also just the laborers are starting to say, you know, where will we do better if we're willing to work hard? Where will we do better, in the Ukraine, staying in Ukraine, or going to Russia? And so, you know, this is another aspect, and Europeans are starting to see this, that the Ukraine actually is, they're starting to see through this. I mean, it's obvious, it should be obvious, that the Ukraine was basically overthrown by the CIA and Victoria Nuland, and this was not for the benefit of the Ukrainian people.
Certainly wasn't. Say, I have one more question before I go on to the next caller. It's been my assumption, and you can correct me if you don't think that's the case, that the reason that Crimea was that their independence was recognized and that they were permitted to join the Russian Federation was because, in addition to them being highly strategic, they were also had a small population that wouldn't fundamentally disrupt the balance of power in what's left of Ukraine, so that eventually a united Ukraine would still retain, you know, more or less a pro-Russian half to it. That's my assumption, and if that's the case, the question then is, having, you know, potentially millions of ethnic Russians leave Ukraine for Russia and resettle in Russia, does that then fundamentally disrupt the balance of power in Ukraine, so it would be permanently pro-European and anti-Russian? And if so, would, because it's always been my assumption that the Donbass was not allowed to join the Russian Federation because they didn't want to disrupt the balance. But if disrupting the balance is no longer, if that becomes a moot point because of all of these refugees, is there a point where Putin and the Russian Duma would permit the annexation of the Donbass?
Well, I would say that, you know what, it's a very complex situation. But one of the interesting things is that Russia is one of the biggest investors in the Ukraine, not only just in Crimea, but in eastern Ukraine. I mean, to the tune of, you know, $500 million. And so there is a major dependency on maintaining that. And one of the things that's happening is Poroshenko and his boys have made such a mess of the situation that the whole joining the EU is probably a moot point now, because they see that the mess for even Ukrainians, that there's such a mess that has been created, that they would be a very unstable member even if there was some political method or track of absorbing them into the EU. So this sort of failed state status, and then everybody, including the European nations, are seeing that where is the stability in the Ukraine? Well, it's in Crimea. And the amazing economic recovery of Crimea is a sign that something good can happen to the Ukraine, but it probably can't happen unless there's a major change in the political leadership.
Okay.
And so there's countries that say, if we're really looking for stability, guess who has given us an example of a track to that part, to that reality.
That's very interesting. Okay, well, we're going to our break. Thank you very much for your call, William.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And we'll be right back after.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Back to National Bugle Radio and Wayne from West Virginia. Wayne, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Dr. Flattery. I have three quick items I want to go over real quick. I know you were talking about fracking, and there is a procedure that they can use other than the chemicals, which is they can use natural gas. And I did call the gas people here. Friend of mine's ahead of it, and I called him, and he said, yeah, we can use natural gas, and then when we get in there, we can pump the gas back out and resell it, but it's a little more costly. So I said, well, we wouldn't want to spend more money. But the second thing is, I did want to mention 9/11. I did read an article sometime after 9/11, the towers that Chuck Schumer, some of his friends that were in the towers had already moved out prior to the towers coming down, but Chuck was able to get them money for their losses. So that was very interesting that they didn't lose anything, but they still got paid for their losses. And the third thing I wanted to bring up was the student loans. Student loans are $1.4 trillion, and if there's a problem, there's a solution. I'd have called some of the student presidents around the country and presented it to them to start a movement where we have a five-year moratorium or reprieve or whatever you want to call it, where all the people that have student loans for 5 years, their payments go towards the principal and not the interest. And the banks would still be getting their money. The student debt would be coming down. And, you know, we could continue on with any other programs that we have. And the other thing you can look at is charge interest on money paid. And what I mean there, if it's a 5% interest and your house payments, will say it's $1,000 a month, and you pay 5% of that $1,000, that's $50. The other $950 goes towards the principal. And that would bring a lot of money back into the system and would allow people, well, it would allow America to grow again. So that's my thoughts there. And I know we don't have much time, so I'll let you comment on that and see what you think. Go ahead,
Sarah. You know, the student loan issue is a very big deal, and it would be something certainly worthwhile to for me to look into and for us to talk about more on this show, also from the financial aspect of it, but also from the you know, the anti-white aspect of it, because who's taking on a lot of these loans and who is often getting into schools, you know, basically because of diversity. You know, the better schools like Harvard accepted something like 13 to 14% blacks last year, and they have a policy where they don't expect people from lower income to borrow money. They just give them grant money. You're getting this massive, indebtedness, but you're this transfer of resources from one group to another, and it really does deserve a comprehensive look, including these student loan issues that you're raising. That really should be covered at the same time. So thank you very much for your call.
The thing of it is, if you would allow them to just the money for 5 years go towards the principal rather than the interest and just cut the interest off altogether, you know, the banks would still be getting paid.
Right.
But your $1.4 trillion would really...
Well, let's talk about that later. We've got 5 seconds, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Beagle Radio.
If your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extension.